America's built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Light your liberty. Starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple. And no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To find out how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
Are you seeking a career change? Are you a motivated self-starter with solid computer skills and radio board operating experience? Well, the folks here at 790 Talk Now are expanding. They're in the midst of a valley-wide search for the best and brightest radio production talent. If you want to help produce Live and Local Now and other 790 Talk Now programming, I want you as a part of our Royce International Broadcasting team. For more information, call Debbie McKay at 760-851-9447. That number again, 760-851-9447.
Washington, D.C. It got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press. A show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one, time is running out. Number two, time is running out. Number three, time is running out. Number four,
go, go, go. Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
So good to have you with us live and local now. Let's take you live to Northern Nevada and a guy that moved his just about his entire financial empire from the People's Republic of California to beautiful Carson City. And Carson Insulation, now in Mound House, the big blue building. Rico Aller joins us. Rico, where are you calling us from today?
I'm on top of the mountain today.
All right. Getting the best cell coverage in all of Northern Nevada. Let me just ask you, are you done with weddings and cookouts? And do you get to go back to just being
a
granddad?
I'm sure glad I am. Yep, I'm out, but I've got... I got a couple grandbabies on the way, and I'm sure looking forward to that. Very excited.
Oh, my gosh, that is so cool. Let me just ask you, the legislature now down to 18 days unless there's a special session. You've done this in California, where for, I think, 8 years you were a part of the legislative process there. You were in the legislature. You ran for election, for re-election. And I'm just curious what these final 18 days are like. I've been told it's kind of a blur. And then a lot of times you're passing bills, you don't really know what's in them. Can you talk a little bit about your experience?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. You lose a lot of sleep. You go a lot of days with 3 or 4 hours of sleep per night. At least I did. I was, not to sound braggadocious, but I was an exceptionally hard worker. And I did lose an awful lot of sleep and stayed up a lot of late nights during that time, especially during the budget. When the actual budget vote has to take place, we'd be sequestered essentially in the legislature, and it was that's exhausting. And you do vote on a lot of things. My default position, as I've mentioned before, was always if I haven't personally read or understand a bill thoroughly, I would vote no. I just wouldn't vote yes on a bill that I didn't understand.
Let me just ask you, because we are in the minority. In fact, we are in the super minority in the Assembly. Just a simple minority in the state Senate. And I'm curious, how important is leadership? James Settlemyer, Jim Wheeler, people like that. How important are they when you are in the minority?
It's much more important when the minority's close. When it's a super minority or super majority, there's very little one can do. The strategy becomes pretty difficult. But if it's a really close margin between the majority and the minority, like say two or three votes, oftentimes you can work a bill in such a way that you can persuade two or three of those on the other side or four on the other side to come your direction, and vice versa to persuade them to oppose a bill. And it depends largely on the district that the legislator's coming from, you know, how they will ultimately vote. It didn't much affect me, I wasn't a typical legislator. I voted more based on ideology, always based on ideology, what I believe was right and wrong, rather than what the people wanted me to do. It was convenient for me that the people I represented pretty much thought the way I did, which made that relatively easy. But in marginal districts, a lot of legislators are going to poll and try to figure out what the most people want, how virulent they are in their views, and then try to vote accordingly. And that can be a place where leadership can move things in one direction or the other.
I know we always talk about, and it, sometimes it's in a joking manner, about how important it is that constituents let their member of the legislature know what it is they want. I happen to believe, and it's kind of a core belief with me, that most of these legislators, they want to give you what you want, but they have to know what you want. Is it important to communicate either via email or snail mail with your member of the legislature and let them know what it is you actually want?
Yeah, I think it is, not just because you're trying to persuade them to do something. It's also because you want to provide them with encouragement, to let them know there are people out there that are also thinking in the same way that they already do. It gives you more courage, and I think it's extremely valuable. Now, there are legislators like, you know, in some of the real hardcore Democrat districts, every Republican in the district on the same day could send a letter or email to their legislator and it would not change their conduct, because they're ideologically driven by a leftist view that you're not going to change. Especially in marginal districts, that constituency input really does matter. And, you know, I have to say, I don't know whether that's morally good or bad. It's just true. And we got to live in the world we live in, not the one we wish we lived in.
Again, Rico Aller joining us from Carson Insulation. Let me just ask you: in your days of the, you know, in the legislature, did you?
Hey, can I go back to that? Can I go back to that question you just asked?
Yeah.
There's another element to this too that I should have mentioned, and that is that sometimes what the legislator needs not is just for you to tell them what you want, but why it is that you believe that, what do you think the outcome will be, and to inform them. Sometimes that's all that they need, is the information that you might possess that no one else does or that few others do, and that can really, really make a difference. So that is a very important part of the process.
Did you get along personally with people from the other side of the aisle? And can you forge friendships that maybe from time to time you can call upon if you need a vote or you need an amendment added to a bill? Tell me what your relationship was like with members of the California legislature.
Well, I can't speak for how it would be today, because I think things are much more heated, and there's a lot less collegiality. But I did develop some relationships with some very left-wing Democrats that I personally loved and disagreed with very strongly on almost every issue. But there was one occasion I remember where there was a bill where I developed a relationship with a Southern California gentleman who I happened to be in his office the day he got the phone call that his wife had just died. She just had a sudden aneurysm and passed away suddenly. And I was there with him, and I stayed with him through that terrible circumstance, and we became fast friends. And there was a time when I did a bill for him that was not supported by Republicans initially. I had to work it very hard, but it was a good bill. It was a thing that would allow nurses to provide epinephrine in cases of heroin overdoses where doctors otherwise had to do it, and people would die before they got a chance to deal with it. So my belief was that, you know, there are people that live hard lives and do bad things, but they still oftentimes repent later in life, sometimes because of a crisis like that, and come to a much better life through salvation or through just a change of heart. And I don't want to have anyone lose that opportunity, so I supported his bill. And later something arose that was in my world, not in his, and he pulled strings, and we got that bill killed. It was really harmful to the rural way of life, and that's an example. It'd take me a long time to tell the whole story, and we don't have time on the radio, but sometime personally I'll tell you the whole story, Kevin.
Wow. Rico Aller joining us from Carson Insulation. I was just checking one of the newspapers over there in Sacramento, And they were talking that upwards of $15 billion in tax increases were up. Apparently, they're not going to pass. Cooler heads will prevail. But that they wanted to tax banking, tires. They
water.
Wanted to, yeah, just about everything. $15 billion, and at the end of the day, they didn't have the votes or they couldn't get them passed. Are you surprised?
I'm kind of surprised that more of them didn't pass, frankly. To be honest, I'm surprised at that. But you know what? That tells you why. 53% of the adults in California say they either are going to or wish they could leave California. 53%.
That's the Golden State you're talking about. The Golden State.
Yep. Golden State. You know, there's going to be a reverse migration through that Golden Gate because people are just sick and tired of this stuff. But you know what? If you're involved in the high tech industry, or you're in your family ties, or you're farming, for example. I mean, farmers. How does a farmer leave California? Best farmland in the world, next to Mesopotamia. How do you leave California when your whole life and your family history is tied to a farm in Madera or in Oakdale, California? How do you pack up and walk away from that when your grandparents are there, your cousins, your extended family are all there? Those are people that are very conservative that would leave California if there were somewhere where the ground was that good.
Yeah. Yeah, sad, but true. Rico Aller joining us, our eyes and ears in northern Nevada. And elsewhere around the country, we now have the number is up to 23. That's the number of announced candidates for president on the Democrat side. The latest is Bill de Blasio of New York City. They got so many problems in New York City. They got crime. They're bankrupt. I mean, on and on and on it goes. They're overtaxed. And yet this is a guy that wants to do for America what he's done in New York City.
Can you imagine that? And the Democrat Party is so caught up in the hype of these leftists that are prominent, you know, Ocasio-Cortez and a few others, that they think that is who the Democrat in America is. And it's not so. That is the extreme left of the Democrat. But there are a lot of Democrats who, if they understood all these things that the Democrat leadership wants to do, they would be aghast. And they're just sealing their own fate. In the end, Donald Trump is going to win re-election, I think, in a big way. And I think there's going to be... It could be the death of the Democratic Party as we've known it in the past.
Yeah, it's amazing. In fact, even Zogby had had the president's approval ratings up to 51%. 51%.
Yeah, they're not our friends, and Zogby's not our friend.
I know.
You know, that's not a biased poll. You could probably figure that's probably more like 54 or 55%. That's about the bias I would apply to them.
Let me just ask you, it looks as if what the Democrats are doing, they haven't been able to do anything legislatively. The Mueller report didn't come out the way they wanted. and so now what they're doing is they're going to try and let the courts do their dirty work for them. Is that the way you see it, that perhaps we're looking at it that way?
They're going to try every arrow in their quiver. And they've pretty much run out. They put a lot of store in the Mueller report, and it came out completely opposite of what they expected or hoped for. And I think they genuinely believed they were going to find out that Trump was a Russian spy. I think they genuinely did, because they're that stupid and that biased. And they're, you know, if you have a preconceived notion about something that you hold very dear, it's like faith, it's like a religion to you. When evidence proves to the contrary, you don't accept it. And they're not accepting that evidence, so they're continuing down that same road. And I hope they just keep going that way, because it is really, really alienating the American public, and we're seeing it in the approval ratings for President Trump, and we're seeing it in other aspects of culture.
Is there any of those 23 presidential wannabes that you see some spark in them that you say, you know, this could be the next Barack Obama, a guy we had never even heard of? All we knew is he had floppy ears and you couldn't pronounce his first or last name. And is there somebody in that group of 23 that you think can break out?
Well, I think Beto O'Rourke has some of the skill that Obama had. But, you know, Barack Obama, despite how much I personally, and I think a lot of Americans really thought he was a horrible, horrible president, a bad man in general, He was a very charismatic speaker. You can't deny it. He read a teleprompter extremely well, and that is a talent. You know, people mock people who read teleprompters, but I can't do a teleprompter to save my life. No, I'm a very good public speaker, but reading a teleprompter just throws me off. It starts sounding like I'm reading a script instead of like I'm giving a speech. But so that's a talent that is an unusual one, and Ronald Reagan was incredibly good at it, and Barack Obama likewise was incredibly good at it. I don't see anyone else in that field that I've seen give speeches that I see that kind of talent, except in Beto O'Rourke, and he has some of that, and he's very young, so he's got time to develop. But I think his ideas are so wacky and so far left that I don't see him becoming president of the United States, but he could become the nominee.
Hey, Rico, it's always fun visiting with you. You have yourself a great weekend. We'll talk to you again next Friday.
Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate the call. Have a great day.
Always good to visit with Rico Aller from Carson Insulation. Learning what's going on in northern Nevada. Learning what's going on the other side of the mountains. You know? By the way, I was told that they had a bunch of snow. I mean, here we are, midway through May, and they had a bunch of snow in Ely last night. Yeah. Very, very weird. This hour of Live and Local Now brought to you by Ichabod's Lounge, featuring old-school Vegas atmosphere. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas with the best promotions and amazing cash giveaways and payouts. And right now I've got a $20 gift card. A $20 gift card to caller number two. Caller number two at 844, the number two, Nevada. That's 844-263-8232. I've been telling you for months now about Ichabod's. I want you to experience it. So I'm going to give out a $20 gift card right now. And all you got to do is be caller number two at 844, the number two, Nevada. That's 844-263-8232. I'm going to take a quick break. Again, caller number two will be our winner of that $20 gift card to Ichabod's Lounge. 844-2-NEVADA, 844-263-8232. I'm Kevin Wall. The program, live and local, now.
Mayhem is everywhere.
I'm a gravel truck. I'm busy laying the foundation for your city's newest suburb. And since it's such a nice day out, I thought I'd go topless. With 20 tons of pebbles loaded into my trailer bed, what's the worst that could happen? Now you're stuck behind me, and I'm about to make it rain. Rocks. Uh-oh, maybe I should have put a tarp over that. Now you're swerving, but there's no avoiding this downpour. Better watch out for that guardrail. And if your cut-rate insurance doesn't cover this, you could get pelted with repair bills. So get Allstate, where agents help protect you from mayhem, like me.
For a free quote, call Las Vegas Allstate agent Sam Peters today at 702-870-4000. That's 702-870-4000, or stop by either of Sam's convenient Las Vegas locations. Subject to terms, conditions, availability, and coverage selected.
See what the personal service of an Allstate agent can do for you. Are you in good hands?
My fellow Nevadans, have you been wanting to start a new business but just don't know where to start? Do you have dreams of being independent and free to use your creativity? I'm Nathan Taylor, President and CEO of the Taylor Consulting Group. It's our mission to help small business owners get their doors open. This year, the Taylor Consulting Group is celebrating our 10-year anniversary. To date, we have helped over 1,000 small businesses get started here in our great state of Nevada. If you want to open a tavern, a supper club, a cafe, or a banquet facility, we can help. Our firm specializes in gaming licensing, liquor licensing, zoning matters, and government affairs. We are your one-stop shop for all your business consulting needs. Don't wait any longer to make your entrepreneurial dreams come true. Contact the Taylor Consulting Group today at 702-483-7045. That's 702-483-7045. Or visit our website at thetaylorconsultinggroup.com. That's thetaylorconsultinggroup.com. At the Taylor Consulting Group, your success is our business.
Hello, I'm Victoria Seaman, and I'm running for the Las Vegas City Council in the special election, Ward 2. I've spoken to several hundred constituents in the ward, and overwhelmingly, the number one issue facing Ward 2 is crime. Just as I was able to get things done while serving as your assemblywoman in the Nevada legislature, I will do the same on the City Council. While Las Vegas has increased funding for more police on the streets, I will make sure they target hotspots in Ward 2. In 2000, 2015, I helped pass several instrumental bills in the legislature, including a ridiculous law that stopped the cosmetology board from shutting down a business. I fought for legislation for homeowners against squatters and another bill that increased safeguards against guardianship abuse. I'm a problem solver. My door will always be open so I can be your voice. I will never stop fighting for Las Vegas. I can't do this unless you vote. Early voting runs from May 25th through June 7th. Election day is June 11th. I'm Victoria Seaman, and I'm asking for your vote.
Paid for by the GOP PAC.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and I ran for governor in 2018. As the owner of Las Vegas Cyclery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors. And I know the amazing outdoor experiences we have in Nevada. For this Christmas, Las Vegas Cyclery has kids bikes, affordable hybrid mountain bikes, and gift cards. We also have a wide variety of the latest e-bikes, which allows anyone to ride a bike, especially for those who want to ride a bike again but have some limitations. For more information, visit LasVegasCyclery.com. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215. Our phone number is 702-596-2953. And for those of you who are interested in a more extended outdoor experience, visit escapeadventures.com for gift cards and a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. Escapeadventures.com.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
Across the state of Nevada and in SoCal, too, it's live and local now. Good to have you with us. 18 days and counting to the Nevada legislature. I know it's exciting. One of the things we like to do is we like to provide a platform, if you will, for people to talk about what matters to them. We call it Nevada Voices.
It's time for Nevada Voices.
Hi, this is Chelsea Torres, Communications Director with Laborers Union, Local 872. Laborers Local 872 is a construction union that strives to obtain more job opportunities for workers and employers. Local 872 is involved in issues that affect our daily lives, from creating good jobs to providing skilled job training, protecting health care, negotiating livable wages, ensuring safe job sites, providing safe neighborhoods for families, and honoring veterans and retirees. Laborers build everything you see on the Las Vegas Strip, from skyscrapers to casinos to stadiums. Laborers work in the tunnels and on the highways. We remediate buildings and make them safe by removing hazardous materials like asbestos and lead. With a legacy of hard work and getting things done, laborers are skilled, productive, proud, and diverse men and women who are building a stronger Nevada. Local 872 loves the Southern Nevada community, and we look forward to continuing to build a better future for all of us. Vegas strong, union proud.
Coming up in the show, a guy that follows what's going on in Washington maybe as closely as anybody, because he's the deputy press secretary for the Republican National Committee. He is Michael Joyce, and he'll tell us what's going on. What's happening with all this court action? We'll do that and more coming up live and local now.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
It is live and local now. Earlier, I had a chance to visit with Michael Joyce. He is the deputy press secretary for the Republican National Committee, and we talked about what's going on in our nation's capital.
Ultimately, it'll end up in the courts. You know, as we continue to go further, you're just going to see 2020 or Democrats going further to continue to ask for subpoenas, trying to get the unredacted report public, or at least in front of their eyes, in front of the House Judiciary Committee. Jerry Nadler is going to do everything in his power to try to make that happen, even though previously with the Ken Starr report, he said redactions are necessary. It's kind of ridiculous, I think, when you see them holding the Attorney General in contempt of Congress for following the rule of law. You know, when there's ongoing grand jury testimony, typically you're supposed to allow that testimony to stay redacted because it's an ongoing trial. But they want to make that public, they want to break the law, and they want to hold the Attorney General in contempt because of it. But yeah, ultimately, it'll end up in the courts. It'll be interesting to see what happens. But I think the American people are pretty fatigued at this point by the Mueller report, especially after we found out there was no obstruction and no collusion. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens. But at the end of the day, I think the American people are ready to move on and focus on something else.
Hey, Mike, let me ask you. The president today says the campaign was, quote, conclusively spied on, unquote, and calls it, quote, treason. Do you think it rises to the level of treason? That's pretty serious stuff.
I think that Attorney General Barr was absolutely correct to hire a U.S. attorney to start investigating the investigators, because there clearly were some issues with what launched this special counsel. Whether you look at what happened in the FISA courts, did they tell, when they tried to get that FISA warrant obtained, did they tell the court that this was a Democrat-funded dossier that they were using? You've heard the discrepancy between Brennan and Comey about whether or not they should take the dossier seriously to even launch the investigation to begin with, too. So, yeah, I think when we go back, there was clearly some spying that took place. The Attorney General even mentioned that during his hearing in front of Congress as well. So, yeah, I think there's a serious issue here, and we absolutely need to go back and investigate Comey's FBI and Obama's DOJ, because there was clearly some kind of foul play there. And I think that's why Democrats now are so viciously attacking the Attorney General, because they're seeing him now flipping on them and saying, well, now we're going to start to begin to investigate the investigators. And that should make Democrats pretty nervous.
I'm just curious, though, what is the legal principle that the president is relying on when it comes, or and the DOJ for that matter, in not releasing unredacted redacted but unredacted parts of the Mueller report? I mean, is there a rule of law that we're looking at here?
Yeah, I think the biggest issue is that when the redactions were made for the public Mueller report, those redactions were agreed upon by the Department of Justice and Mueller and his team. So there was a mutual understanding that these need to be redacted for, you know, legal purposes or whatever. So, again, just the fact that Jerry Nadler and House Democrats are focused on making redacted portions public in a very small percentage of the report. I mean, I think it's something like 93-94% of that report is public, and the conclusions are not changing no matter what are in those redactions. There was still no obstruction. There was still no collusion, and Democrats need to move on and get to work for the American people.
Again, Mike Joyce joining us, Deputy Press Secretary for the Republican National Committee. There's all kinds of news, and I don't even know where to begin. The Treasury and IRS have until close of business today, I guess, to release the Trump tax returns. Is it safe to say that that, too, is going to be something that's going to end up the subject of some sort of court outing?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, you've seen time and time again with the Democrat Party these days, all they care about doing is obstructing and resisting everything President Trump does. So, you know, when he did the travel ban or the immigration ban or things like that, they always end up in front of a judge. And a lot of these issues are going to ultimately end up in front of the judges, whether it's the president's tax returns or what happens with the redactions in the Mueller report. Typically, all of these things are going to end up in the courts, and we'll see what happens, you know, when the judges make their decisions.
Again, Mike Joyce joining us. He is the Deputy Press Secretary for the Republican National Committee. I know that the Democrats are falling over themselves. Who was it yesterday? It was Bill de Blasio in New York. Now, he's running for president. That makes 23 announced candidates for president on the Democrat side. And by the way, there's new polling out that shows that Joe Biden, in this particular case, leading by 18 points. former vice president maintaining a comfortable lead over the other candidates. Fox News poll released yesterday found that Biden enjoys an 18-point lead over his closest challenger, Bernie Sanders, and Elizabeth Warren. What do you make of this? And just as a political observer, how are they going to break this logjam? 23 candidates. They won't fit on the same stage, for crying out loud.
Yeah, I'm going to certainly have my popcorn ready for that first debate in June with all of these candidates up there. And with, you know, with Joe Biden entering the race, the biggest thing about Biden is he hasn't had to go on record yet and say where he stands on a lot of these liberal litmus tests. You know, I think from the first time Joe Biden ran in the 80s, go fast forward to today, the Democrat Party has taken a radical far-left shift. And he's out there trying to toot his progressive credentials. He'll say, I'm willing to put up my progressive credentials of 37 years up against any other candidate in this race. And he just hasn't had to go on record yet and talk about things like reparations, the Green New Deal, government-run health care. He's going to absolutely have to go on record and talk about these things when you're on a debate stage with people like Bernie Sanders and Cory Booker and Amy Klobuchar and everyone else. So, you know, he hasn't had to go on record yet for these things, but he's going to have to see that he goes to the far left to appease his base. Because when you look at all the Democrats in all the early primary and caucus states, they demand socialism. They're demanding these socialist policies. They overwhelmingly support these socialist policies. And his issue is now you're going to have to go on record in support of these things. And to a general electorate, they're not going to want anything to do with these. A $93 trillion Green New Deal, a $32 trillion Medicare for All government-run healthcare program, people don't want these things, and they're going to find out very quickly that what appeases your base in the primary will not play well against President Trump and his promises made and promises kept heading into 2020.
I'm just curious. Biden comes in at 35%, Sanders at 17%. That's a slight dip from March when he registered support at 23%. Warren has yet to break double digits. What seems to be the strategy in the Democrat Party as you look from outside? Are they all just going to, like, one by one fall overboard or get tossed overboard by Biden?
You know, it'll be interesting to see because, again, the party, the base is clear in what they want. They want these socialist policies. That's why they're coming forward with these proposals. And that's why every time there's a new liberal litmus test, you see the 2020 Democrats like taking a number in the deli line saying, yep, I support that. They all push the same radical agenda. How they get to that agreement of, you know, how we get to government more in health care, you know, do we do single payer, do we do public option, all these different things. They all ultimately agree on the same policy proposals. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in the early primary states. And then specifically that Super Tuesday, you have states like Texas and California. There's going to be some bigger states. And of course, Nevada moving up earlier in the race this year as well. So it'll be interesting to see how these things shake out. But again, you know, when you have 23 candidates, you're going to have to do something to get noticed by the American people. And unfortunately, those types of things are these radical policies, like when Bernie Sanders held a CNN town hall and says, you know what, I do support letting the Boston Marathon bomber vote from jail. That sounds like a good idea. And then they asked Kamala Harris a couple town halls later the same evening, and she goes, well, yeah, I think we should have a conversation about letting prisoners, murderers, terrorists vote from prison. I think that's a good idea. It's absolutely absurd, and it just goes to show how far to the left they've gone, and that's their biggest issue, is because whoever comes out of this thing, it doesn't matter whether it's Biden, Bernie, Beto, whoever, they're going to have to go on record and say, I support all of these radical policy proposals. And when you have to compare that to this booming capitalist economy under President Trump right now and the rest of the things that President Trump has achieved in a few short years, even with the ongoing Russia collusion hoax and obstruction and resistance from Democrats in the House and the Senate, they're going to have a big problem on their hands for sure.
Michael, in our final couple of minutes, how do you account for Joe Biden? He parachutes into the race and he's instantly the front runner, but not the front runner by a little bit, the front runner by a lot. Is it just name recognition? Is it a matter of he's the next man up? And I mean that literally, but figuratively, the next man up. Is that what it is? I mean, this is a huge lead.
I think it's the fact that ultimately he represents what Democrats used to be in love with, which was Barack Obama. The biggest issue for Joe Biden is that he comes out and says, you know, I asked for Obama not to endorse me. That's a bold-faced lie. I mean, the truth is Obama doesn't want to endorse him because if someone like Bernie Sanders comes out and wins the primary, you're going to create an even bigger civil war than what already exists in the Democrat Party right now. And the thing about Biden is, if he's saying, hey, you know, let's go back to the Obama years. Let's go back to stagnant economic growth. Let's go back to green policies that hurt the country, like Solyndra or Cashler Clunkers. You know, let's go back to these horrible policies under Barack Obama, because, you know, we liked him and he was the last person that was kind of the actual leader of the party. And there's been a huge void and a gap. And I think folks forget that with Joe Biden, he's not a good presidential candidate. He's already tried to do this twice, couldn't gain any traction. You've already seen blunders with his rollout again, from the weird vertical video where he had to apologize. He's already been on the apology tour this time again. So, yeah, he's going to have some significant issues, but call it name ID, call it whatever you want. He's going to still have to go on record and come out in support of these radical left policies, because that's what their base demands. And if you want to get out of their primary alive, you're going to be on board with all of these things. But you're hearing Joe Biden talk about his record. So when he gets attacked by, you know, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez or Bernie Sanders for his views on green energy, he goes, oh, no, I've supported green energy proposals, things like Solyndra, things like giving billions of dollars to create hybrid batteries and letting those batteries get built overseas. So providing billions of dollars for jobs overseas. Those are the issues that he's up against right now. And when he talks about, you know, helping the blue collar worker in a state like Pennsylvania out, he's in for a rude awakening, because they're at their lowest level of unemployment in the state's history right now. And they lost manufacturing jobs in Pennsylvania under Joe Biden and Barack Obama's watch, whereas they've gained manufacturing jobs under President Trump and Vice President Pence. So, again, it's kind of like his message has just disappeared with everything that President Trump has done, whether it's from tax reform, bringing manufacturing jobs back to his country, renegotiating new trade deals. You know, people forget Joe Biden's the only guy in the race right now who is a huge supporter of NAFTA. And now that we have the new USMCA deal hopefully getting passed soon, he's in to see that, you know, the old days of blue collar Joe don't exist anymore. And a lot of the things that he said we need to get done have happened under President Trump. So he's in for a pretty tough race. And I think all the 2020 Democrats are going to find out that, hey, you know what, maybe this plays well with a radical far left group of voters who want to impeach the president for no reason whatsoever. But in a general electorate with independent voters who approve of the handling of this president's economy, with millennials that overwhelmingly approve of the economy right now and the way that President Trump has handled it, they're going to find out that, you know what, this is not 2016 all over again. This is a whole new animal, because not only has President Trump been in office, but he's actually delivered results for the American people.
By the way, in our final minute, and I'm really down to about a minute, I'm curious if there's any indication from the 2020 reelect campaign of how the president's going to handle these 23. Is he going to do what he did in 2015 and just one by one throw candidates overboard? Or is he going to wait and let the Democrats do their own thing?
You know, I think he's enjoying it. I think he's enjoying being the front runner and just kind of watching the chaos take place in the Democrat Party right now. You've already heard him come out with some nicknames. We have Sleepy Joe for Joe Biden. We have Alfred E. Newman of Mad Magazine for Pete Buttigieg, which is absolutely hilarious. But, you know, the president is a master communicator. He knows how to handle these situations. I think when you go back and look at the 2016 debate stage, the way that President Trump commanded that debate stage time and time again, I think he sees a huge opportunity here. And I truly think the president could care less about which candidate comes out of this thing alive, because he has to know the way this economy is booming right now. This is the hottest economy we've had in a long time. I think he's feeling very confident about his reelection chances right now, as he should, because he's one of the few presidents that have delivered on his promises, whether it's the U.S. Embassy going back to Jerusalem, confirming two conservative Supreme Court justices to the Supreme Court, the 100 federal judges we've confirmed. We've had things done. This has been promises made, promises kept under Trump, and he's got to feel very good heading into 2020.
That's Michael Joyce, the deputy press secretary for the Republican National Committee. This hour of Live and Local Now brought to you by Sam Peters and Peters Family Insurance. Sam holds Allstate's premier agency designation and ranks in the top 10% of Allstate agents nationally. Auto, home, life, and retirement. You need any of the four? Go for it. Call Sam right now, 702-870-4000. That's 702-870-4000. By the way, if you're a golfer, a big golf tournament, a fundraising golf tournament for Sam Peters and his run for Congress in CD4. It's coming up a week from today, Friday, May 24th at Aliante Golf Club. Whole sponsorships include a foursome for $500. You want more information? Go to RepublicanChamber.org. That's RepublicanChamber.org to register and for more information. Or just call 702-306-5370. That's 702-306-5370. Stick around. More to do as we continue. It is live and local now. All of us live in the desert, and yet many homeowners take trees on their property for granted. Hey, Kevin Wall here. Why are trees important to you and your family? Well, they're a major part of the huge investment you've made in your home. For many families, trees provide something in short supply across the Las Vegas Valley. It's called shade. If you're a homeowner with trees on your property, you need to check out my friends at Mr. Tree Service. Mr. Tree is a licensed Nevada State contractor. Certified arborist Joe Noriega and his amazing team of full-time tree care professionals can prune to bring out the safety, health, and beauty of your trees. Mr. Tree Service has the size and experience to do the big jobs right. They're perfect for HOAs and commercial assignments. Check out Mr. Tree Service at MrTreeLV.com or get a free quote by calling 702-401-6277. That's 702-401-6277. All across the Las Vegas Valley, it's Mr. Tree Service.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and I ran for governor in 2018. As the owner of Las Vegas Cyclery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors. And I know the amazing outdoor experiences we have in Nevada. For this Christmas, Las Vegas Cyclery has kids' bikes, affordable hybrid mountain bikes, and gift cards. We also have a wide variety of the latest e-bikes, which allows anyone to ride a bike, especially for those who want to ride a bike again but have some limitations. For more information, visit LasVegasCyclery.com. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215. Our phone number is 702-596-2953. And for those of you who are interested in a more extended outdoor experience, visit escapeadventures.com for gift cards and a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. Escapeadventures.com.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? Hey, Kevin Wall here. I'm happy to inform you there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. There are no networks, so you choose your doctor and hospital. Liberty HealthShare allows you to easily decide how, when, and where you will access healthcare. It could be the best practical, moral, and economical choice for you and your family. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family, that's mom, dad, and all kids. This is the way healthcare should be. For information, call 855-585-4237. That's 855-585-4237. Or visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org. And regain control over your healthcare costs. Together, we're changing healthcare for good.
My fellow Nevadans, have you been wanting to start a new business but just don't know where to start? Do you have dreams of being independent and free to use your creativity? I'm Nathan Taylor, President and CEO of the Taylor Consulting Group. It's our mission to help small business owners get their doors open. This year, the Taylor Consulting Group is celebrating our 10-year anniversary. To date, we have helped over 1,000 small businesses get started here in our great state of Nevada. If you want to open a tavern, a supper club, a cafe, or a banquet facility, we can help. Our firm specializes in gaming licensing, liquor licensing, zoning matters, and government affairs. We are your one-stop shop for all your business consulting needs. Don't wait any longer to make your entrepreneurial dreams come true. Contact the Taylor Consulting Group today at 702-483-7045. That's 702-483-7045. Or visit our website at thetaylorconsultinggroup.com. That's thetaylorconsultinggroup.com. At the Taylor Consulting Group, your success is our business.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
Don't forget this hour of Live and Local Now, brought to you by Escape Adventures. Are you and your family looking for an extended outdoor experience? Well, then check out Escape Adventures. Owner Jared Fisher and the pros at Escape Adventures can provide you, your family, even your business with a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. Find out more at escapeadventures.com. That's escapeadventures.com. You know, one of the things we like to do is we like to provide a platform for listeners all across our listening area. It's called, it's actually called our Water Wall Free-for-All. It's where we let you call in and talk about what it is that matters to you. In fact, tell you what, let's do. Let's go to Clinical Carl. Carl, you're up and you're on Live and Local Now. What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, I tried to get your money, but your phone lines went down. Anyway.
Let's see. Let's see if we can squeeze in Paul. Paul, you're up and you're on Live and Local Now. Go right ahead.
All right, good morning. Real short and sweet. The governor of Florida signed the Armed Teachers Law. As of October of this year, teachers will be carrying guns in the classroom until all this madness subsides. And I just want everybody to remember something. It wouldn't be necessary. There were 49 phone calls placed about that young man that did the shooting, and the sheriff didn't do anything. And two calls were placed to the FBI, and they didn't respond either. It's almost like they wanted it to go down. But anyway, teachers are now armed. They need to now do that in Clark County. They got dedicated officers, the Clark County Police Department, for the schools. But there's not enough of them, and there's too many kids. And if something's going to go down, it's going to happen, and the teacher's going to be the only one there that can stop it.
Wow. I'm going to tell you, I just have my doubts. This is such a liberal area. You know what it's time for now?
It's time for Nevada Voices.
I'm John Sarpolis, president of Nevada Policy Research Institute. Nevada Policy has been following legislative session closely, and we've been letting you know what bills you, as a taxpayer and a citizen, should be worried about. We're doing more than simply watching what happens in Carson City. We're making sure that taxpayers, citizens, and individuals have a voice. But we can't do it on our own. We depend on our partners throughout Nevada, individuals, parents, and taxpayers who donate to our cause and support our mission. It's because of the generosity of our supporters that we're able to give a voice to taxpayers and fight for freedoms we hold dear. Visit NevadaPolicy.org/donate and partner with us today. Together, we can make sure that government lobbyists and insiders aren't the only voices heard in Carson City. That's NevadaPolicy.org/donate. This Nevada Policy Update is supported by Jim Marsh Kia, Jim Marsh Chrysler Jeep, and the Jim Marsh Auto Body Shop.
Coming up next Monday, you're not going to believe this. It's going to be week 16 of the 120-day Nevada legislature. We'll talk with Victor Jakes. He's been up and back and up and back and I think up and back to Carson City. We'll talk with him about what's going on and the race to the finish line in Carson City. Till we join you then, have a great weekend. Make the most of your weekend, would you please? Live and Local Now. Close your eyes, girl. Look inside, girl. Let the sound take you away. Hey, Kevin Wall here. A few months ago, a friend invited me for a Tuesday evening of fun at Ichabod's Lounge. Ichabod's isn't in my neighborhood, and yeah, I had to drive an extra 10 minutes, but boy, am I glad I did. What I didn't know at the time was that Ichabod's has been there for 31 years and family-owned for 19 years. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. As they say at Ichabod's, we manage with generosity. Ichabod's features incredible menu items, including steaks, seafood, burgers, pasta, and 5 daily specials. And their kitchen's open 24 hours for you late-night foodies. And I just love Ichabod's old-school Vegas atmosphere. When everybody else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super serve its customers. Check out their nightly entertainment at the Piano Bar from 6:30 to 10:30. You want to win? You want to have fun? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge, and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.